All right, we are ready to go. You good?
I'm ready whenever you are.
All right, here we go. 3, 2, 1. What's up, y'all? Welcome to the Sports Medicine Broadcast. This is my second time doing a listener spotlight series, and I'm glad to bring you Vidal Mora. He is listening to the podcast, and really I just want to get a chance to share his story. So, Vidal, welcome. Thanks for joining us on the Sports Medicine Broadcast.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
All right. So looking on your Twitter profile, it says husband, father, athletic trainer. All right. So tell me a little bit about your story there. So kind of where you're from. Tell me maybe when you met your wife, how many kids you got, and then your athletic training story as well.
I live in Lake St. Louis, Missouri. It's kind of like suburbs of St. Louis, about 45 minutes away from the city. I learned about athletic training in high school, obviously. I knew we had one. I didn't know the capabilities she had, so I was never really interested at the time. I never utilized her as well. It was actually my wife who I met when I was a senior in high school. We met through our positions at work. We worked at a county park in the area and got to know each other that way. And I had no idea what I wanted to do when I got out of high school. Went to community college, struggled, couldn't figure out what I wanted to do. Switched my majors like crazy. Went from like video production to chiropractic, nursing, and then sports medicine just made sense after I'd been in sports my entire life, basically. We got married about midway through in June 1st, 2012, so about 5 years coming up. I was in school at Lindenwood University in St. Charles, Missouri, working on my bachelor's in athletic training there. And we also had our first kid, Mia Bella, my daughter. She's 3 now. I got had her my senior year. And then after that, after I got licensed and certified, I found a job in August in an orthopedic clinic for Washington University School of Medicine. So I work in the orthopedic surgery department, and I am an orthopedic technician. And what that is, I'm a specialist in casting and splinting and working with durable medical equipment. I also work with post-operative care with removal of sutures, staples, pins, and applied dressings.
All right. So you're actually not in a high school working with sports. You're working solely in the clinic.
Yes, sir.
All right. Did you ever have an opportunity to work in a sports specific setting?
For Washington University, they do offer some outreach stuff for me. It's not too often, but they all know I'm certified and licensed. I've been certified and licensed in the state of Missouri for 2 years now, and I do PRN outreach athletic training on my own through different services in the area. Like I'll cover for someone at a high school, cover youth junior sports, stuff like that. I always had an interest in working the clinical side of things when I was working on my bachelor's degree, just because I was very interested in surgery and everything. And my wife is also a nurse, and she works in the operation room. And I'm always like trying to figure out what she's doing. I'm always excited to hear what she has to say for the day.
All right, that's cool. Two medical professionals working together. So
yep.
All right. If you were to pick her job or your job, what do you think? Think you'd pick hers or yours?
I'd pick mine. I'm all about orthopedics. She's really not, which is funny. She does everything else besides orthopedics. Like she can do the orthopedic stuff, but she prefers to do the other everything else.
Yeah. All right. I know we've talked about the Masters of Athletic Training program and their residencies and extra certifications. One of the things that kind of came up was working in an orthopedic office, being able to do the brace fitting and splinting and casting and those type of things. Can you talk a little bit more about how you were kind of specialized in that?
Well, it was kind of a cool thing. My supervisor now is also an athletic trainer. So when she hired me, she knew she could utilize me well, and I was able to catch on quickly and everything. What we do at WashU, it's about 6 months of training of like learning all the techniques, learning just everything about casting, splinting, and durable medical equipment, and just being with the doctors, figuring out what they want and how they like things. Because obviously, orthopedic surgeons are very particular on what they want. So that was really, and it, I caught on easily. I loved the job. They actually had me going to about 5 different locations, just floating around. So I'm able to work pediatrics, sports medicine, and adults, geriatrics, and stuff like that, which is, I thought, very beneficial for me and not just staying in one spot. But however, I do love pediatrics, I got to say. It's, working with kids is probably my favorite thing.
Oh, really? Why is that?
Just even when they're like babies, we have to do casting and stuff to them, such as the clubfoot cast, and just watching them grow and being able to function basically at that young of age is pretty awesome.
See, for me, it would seem that that was probably the hardest population to work with, because you can't say, all right, hold your foot still while I put this. And if they're just crying and screaming, there's nothing you can do. You know, I have a 6-year-old, a 4-year-old, a 2-year-old. I understand that there's a lot of irrational tears. So
it's awesome. It's also funny because I look so young and everything when I walk in a room and they're like, what is this little kid doing working on my baby? And they'll realize that I have 3 kids. I have a 3-year-old, 1-year-old, and a 5-month-old child. So it's I get to have that connection right away, obviously, and I work great with the kids. It's fun. It's challenging, obviously, at sometimes, but I feel like I make a bigger impact with the pediatric side of things than I do with the adults.
Yeah, that's cool. I know that whenever I did my internship with the Houston Texans, I realized that in the high school, I have a bigger impact with the kids than I do with the professional sports. I can shape somebody's life. And just last night, we had a former student, she's just about to graduate from college, come over and hang out. We're playing games and just talking about life and that kind of thing. And she's like, you know, I really look up to you guys. Well, I don't feel like I would ever get that if I was working with just adults. And so I guess maybe it's a little selfish, but I understand where you're coming from.
Yeah.
All right. Tell me a little bit more about, you say that you're interested in comic books and skateboarding. Has any of that been able to be applied in the job?
Well, not necessarily. That's how you connect with some kids if they skateboard or into superheroes and stuff like that. I obviously keep up with all my comic book movies and everything. My nose isn't in a comic book all the time, but I used to enjoy collecting them, stuff like that. Skateboarding, I've been skateboarding since I was about 12, and I was able to travel around the country, do tours, do demos, do competitions. And also the park that my wife and I used to work with, I managed it for 8 years, and they had a skate park there. So I was very involved in the skateboarding community around here. Haven't done anything specifically with just skateboarding. Like, I've had to take care of injuries at the skate park while I was in school, but nothing professional wise, I guess, as an athletic trainer.
Okay, so 8 years or so, you said, managing skateboards, managing the skateboard park. Also, you know, you've been skateboarding since you were 12. There's had to have been some injuries that you received or that you've been able to take care of. Tell me about those.
Yeah, I guess so. One that was, it wasn't even nothing cool. I broke my finger, had a surgery on it. I wasn't doing anything, just was skating and just hit my hand on something. And it broke it that bad. So it really wasn't nothing too extreme or anything. One of the biggest falls we had, I had a patron have, it was an elderly guy. He's probably in mid-40s, actually. And he was skating one of our big bowls, and he took a dump and hit his head and was unconscious for about 10 minutes, and EMS arrived, and I was holding his spine just in alignment just because it was so random, and just like cracked his helmet wide open. Dude had the biggest concussion I've ever seen because he couldn't remember how he even got there, what day it was, nothing. So it was a pretty severe concussion the guy sustained, but that's nothing besides broken arms and stuff like that, which obviously, like, I know it's a big deal to other people, but I mess with that stuff all the time, so it's not a big deal to me because I help and assist the physician into reducing fractures all the time, which is I guess why it's not a big deal, but I think I keep my composure with that stuff better than others.
Yeah, it's much different whenever you're a medical professional. And then you and your wife both are medical professionals. So I'm sure if there's something at the house, pretty much they never go to the doctor. Like, we can take care of this.
Yeah. My wife and I tease each other about that, how our kids are screwed if they're hurt. They're like, oh, we got it covered. You're not going there unless you're dying.
See, but then when you go there, you really know what to do. You know what to ask for. You know who to talk to. Oh, so you got it all covered there too. So
that's funny too, because we never, I don't know if it's a bad thing or a good thing. We never tell any of anyone if we go to the doctor, we never tell anyone what we are, what we do kind of thing. And we just ask the right questions, I guess.
Yeah. That's good. That way they don't make any assumptions or anything like that. Cool. So
yeah.
All right, Vanel, your most memorable moment as an athletic trainer, what would you say that is?
Well, I don't have years and years of experience. I would just have to say the simple thank you as a athlete telling me that, or a patient telling me that, or just the satisfaction of watching a kid you treated walk again or use their hands again, stuff like that.
All right, so even in undergrad, all that stuff, is there anything that really sticks out as like a defining moment?
In undergrad? I think not really defining moment. I felt like there was a point in my undergrad, like my senior year, where I was like, I felt like I was a professional. It was like that, just like jumping off that edge, be like, I got this kind of thing. I know what I'm doing. I know how to treat patients. I know how to act in front of professionals. So even before I was certified and licensed, I felt like I was already an athletic trainer in a professional setting, just because the way I acted and the way I treated my athletes at the time.
I gotcha. And that's a huge deal. I was talking to some MAT students just the other day, and they were like, I'm scared of adulting, which that word drives me crazy, because you're freaking adults. You're over 18. You're an adult. I was like, you know, they're just not prepared to leave. They're not ready to go out into the world. And then there you are saying, you know, I felt that I was prepared, that I was ready. And obviously there's a learning curve, and you know, come up against something, you're like, whoa, maybe I'm not ready, but yeah. That's good.
Because I got married while I was in school too, and also had a kid.
Yeah.
That makes you grow up really fast.
Yeah.
I was just ready to get out of there, just learn as much as I can, just to start working. Start providing for that family. And that was probably a big way of me I never wanted to go get my master's, which is kind of, I know some people, that's awesome if you do. But I was like, I think a bachelor's is good enough. I know how to handle myself. I know what to do. So I pursued the orthopedic clinic.
Yeah, and it works for you. So, all right. If there's any life lessons that you've learned, what would you say those are?
Live every day like it's your last. Make everything memorable.
All right. What are some of the ways that you do that then?
Treat every patient athlete like it's last time you're going to treat them. You want to make it memorable for them, especially if you're in a clinic. You don't want the kid to be scared to go to the doctor's office. You want to know it's fun. People are there to help you and to make you feel better.
Yeah, see, that's one of the things I've learned, is not to say, oh, that other athletic trainer, oh, that chiropractor, oh, that doctor doesn't know what they're talking about. You say, well, I don't know what they said to you. I don't know what you asked them. So let's just go with this, rather than trying to pit medical professionals against each other. Like you said, you know, make them feel confident in going to the doctor, that doctor was correct. They were just looking at a different angle or communicated it differently. So that's definitely a good lesson there. So. And then obviously, I know you've heard the story about where we had to perform CPR. That's one of those things that I'll never forget, that image. And then also it helps me remember that when I said goodbye to my kids this morning, that there's a possibility that that's the last time I ever say goodbye. Either something happens to me or them, whatever. And so it does help you remember to live each moment and not be stuck on your phone and tell your kids to go away. Daddy's looking at Facebook or something. So,
yeah.
All right. If you want to give some advice to an up-and-coming athletic trainer, and then I'm going to ask you a question that you might have, or something you would like to learn from a more seasoned athletic trainer. So first, advice to an up-and-coming.
I would keep your composure with all situations. If you're in an athletic training program right now, they're going to teach you how to be an athletic trainer. You're going to learn what you need to know to go out and take your certification, get licensed, get registered, and apply those skills. So keep your composure with all situations, whether it be talking to athletes on the field, off the field, talking coaches, parents, physicians. You're being watched all the time, and people will listen to you if they know you're keeping your composure, and they'll respect you for that.
All right, so keep your composure. Good. And then something that you would like to know, or you would have liked for someone to have shared with you, maybe?
I guess I would have... you really do learn a lot in your education program, but I guess more of the thing is like work-life balance. You don't really, there's not a lesson for that. You have to do that on your own. I mean, people can guide you and tell you how they do it, but I never really asked for that. Like, I never asked any of my instructors for that or any of the athletic trainers I did internships with. I just had to learn it on my own. And it's still a struggle. I'm sure it's a struggle for everyone trying to do that work-life balance. Especially since I have 3 kids now and I'm trying to keep up with all of them. But I'm so hungry to work and everything right now. It's tough.
Yeah. One thing I would recommend is a book that I read. It's called Date Your Wife by Justin Buzzard. And so just like you have a plan for treating your patients, just like you have a plan for, you know, moving up or for paying off your school loans, this is the same thing as creating. It kind of shows you how to and why you should create a plan for dating your wife. Because the best thing for your kids is to see that you love their mother. And so mm-hmm. for them to grow up healthy and confident and solid, the best way is for them to see you loving her. And then the best way for her to be loved is by the continual regular affection and in whatever way speaks to her. But that book, like for me and my wife, this weekend, she's going out of town for a girls trip. So it's just her and her friend. They're going out of town. I've got the kids. And they're just going to have fun. I don't in any way try to plan what they're doing. They said they might just sit in the hotel and watch a movie for, you know, 2 days or something. That's fine. It's whatever they choose to do. And so I highly recommend that book and having a plan for being a lifelong learner of your wife. So
absolutely. I'll check that out.
All right. If there are some people you would like to thank for getting you where you are or being highly involved in your life, who would those be and why?
My mother and father for always supporting me in whatever I wanted to do. My wife for just being there for me all the time and being an awesome mother to my 3 beautiful children.
All right. What about an athletic trainer you would like to thank?
I would like to thank Randy Biggerstaff. He's an ATA Hall of Famer. He was at the time the director of our athletic training program. I learned a lot from him. He's just has the wisdom radiating off him. And you can ask him anything. He's a very personal guy, just fun to hang out with, fun to talk to. You can learn so much from him.
All right. Very good. All right. So I know also like in your Twitter, you got a hockey stick and a hockey jersey. So you're a hockey fan?
Oh yeah. I'm a big hockey fan.
All right. I'm from Houston my whole life. Okay. So hockey is almost non-existent down here, right?
Yeah.
All right. So tell me a little bit about why you love hockey.
My dad always watched the St. Louis Blues. I always obviously watched it with them and just been a fan of it. I started playing hockey just actually not too long ago, about 5 years ago, just doing rec leagues and stuff just for fun. And it's most fun I've ever had. Playing sports, and I don't know, my senior year I actually got to work with our Division I hockey team for Lindenwood University, and it was awesome experience. I fell more in love with the sport just being there in the locker room, treating all the athletes, just a fun environment, and I just think the sport's just awesome to watch and play.
If you had an opportunity to go work with one of those teams, would you take it?
Probably. I would love to have that opportunity to work hockey.
Yeah.
And my wife knows it too. And I tell her all the time, I was like, if I ever actually try to pursue athletic training for a hockey team, I probably would. And she knows that.
Yeah, definitely an adjustment would have to be made, obviously. But Cool. I think actually there's been an opportunity for me to work with soccer. I really love watching soccer here at the high school. I don't watch it on TV because we don't have cable, and I don't really have a connection with those people. Mm-hmm. But you know, there's been jobs that come up to work with the minor league team for the Houston Dynamo or whatever it is, and I've thought about it, but I'm like, you know, I really like where I am. I like the hours. I don't like to travel and be away. Have to be away from the family. For me, my number one goal in life is to be a father and a husband that honors God. And so, if that's not part of my mission, then that's, you know, I got to make a good career choice that fits in with what my mission is. So,
yeah.
All right. What other stories you got for me?
I can tell you about like a worst injury I had in like a bad injury I had in clinic one day that I was actually able to help. I had a kid about 7 years old. He had a mid shaft tibia fracture, was completely displaced. And I was able to, under the direction of the physician, of course, I was able to reduce it using a cast wedging technique. And it's basically you cut one side of the cast and you kind of pry it open and put like a little wedge in it. And it put a valgus force in the cast to kind of reduce the fracture without taking the cast actually completely off. And so I got aligned perfectly, took x-rays, everything was awesome. Kid was good to go in 5 weeks. It was pretty awesome to use a method that way and save the kid from having to go to surgery and get put under, having the risk of getting put under to sleep and then having the plates and screws there.
All right, so explain that to me a little bit. The kid already had a cast on and then broke his leg?
No, he broke his leg, mid-shaft fracture, got it reduced in the ER. They bivalve the cast. That means they split two sides on it so he doesn't get compartment syndrome, and so he's able to swell. But as they did that, the fracture slipped out of place again, and they came to clinic, and then that's when I was able to use my methods of casting to fix him up.
Okay, I got you. So the ER casted him, and then you just got to wedge it open or wedge it back in place. All right. So was the doctor standing there with you?
The process we have kind of thing is kind of we mark it kind of and have him take an X-ray of where we want it. We use like a kind of like a paperclip kind of thing just to see where he's where we need the pressure to be placed at, where the valgus force needed to be placed at. And they took the X-ray, and the paperclip obviously shows really well in the X-ray, so we're able to draw a line to see where we want the cut made, and we'll cut it around, and then we'll kind of spread it open. And the kid was a good sport, because I told him, I was like, this is going to hurt a lot, dude. And I kind of started spreading it open, and then you have to be careful also, because the fibula was completely intact, and you don't want to put too much stress on the fibula, because you don't want that to break as well, basically. You just have to put just enough. So it's a tough task, but we all know what we're doing. The physician had me, he drew the line for me, and I cut it and opened it up and placed the cast wedge in there. And then we just took x-rays again, and he looked brand new again.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's a crazy procedure, especially doing it in clinic without having to have the kid go into surgery.
Yeah, I would definitely be at a loss there. I mean, I've put fingers or whatever back in place. We've had two ankle dislocations this year, and I wasn't able to reduce either one of those. But mm-hmm. Yeah, it's fun to give it a try. That's kind of sick to say, I guess, but it's fun to give it a try just to have that experience. But that's cool, man. I appreciate you jumping on the call. And then again, like I said, I'll have this posted up there, and then I'll send you a link to it once I get it up there. But it should be sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/your-first-name-your-last-name. So Vidal Mora, once you share it with people, then you'll be able to see, that's my name up there.
I got you. I appreciate you having me, man. It was fun. I like this.
All right, dude. If there's something else you want to hear about, if something else you want to talk about, you know, I know some people kind of get passionate about a subject and they want to present about it, then, you know, hit me up.
Yeah, I can talk about more about casting and actually show you probably like demonstrations and stuff like that, like probably through a PowerPoint or something, somehow, just to show you like how we do it and or basically what my job pertains. Because I know a lot of athletic trainers, like as soon as they graduate, have no idea what they do. I was actually very fortunate enough to get the position as an ortho tech, basically. And there's I know a lot of people do the dual stuff with the have you ever heard of the orthopedic technologist certification?
I've heard of it. Yes.
Yes. Yes. So I don't have that certification, but it's it's something that athletic trainers could also look into if they're working in a clinical side of things, because you're be working with the surgery stuff. Like it's surgery is fun to be in, but there's more stuff you can do basically in the clinic with if you have it.
Yep. Cool. Well, I'm not trying to put more work on you, Sam. So if you're maybe presenting somewhere else and you're like, hey, I'd like to share this with everybody, then just let me know and we'll schedule a time.
All right. Sounds good, man.
Cool. All right. Well, hey, thanks for listening. Thanks for joining me today on the Sports Medicine Broadcast.
Thanks for having me. Take care, man.
Bye.